Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this latest Blackhawks Crazy podcast in the wake of a very busy Wednesday leading up to Thursday night's game versus Arizona. I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio, coming to you from MB Ice Arena and flying solo this time, but the biggest news being the expected return of Corey Crawford to game action for the first time in nearly 10 months. The long process in returning from his concussion and all the related symptoms has gotten to the point where he will be ready, provided there are no setbacks at Thursday morning's pregame skate. Let's hear from the two-time Stanley Cup winner following Wednesday's practice on the challenges he'll face in his return to game conditions, the emotions he may feel, and the tricky process and patience he needed working with Mike Gapski and the Hawks training staff and Hawks goalie coach Jimmy Waite.
Yeah, it feels good to be back to myself and feeling good, feeling clear. I'm still going to wait till tomorrow morning, but right now I'm doing good. Practices have been great. Been getting the timing a little bit more and getting up to speed and, you know, reading shots and all that stuff. So it'll be nice to finally get in one. I'm sure I'll be a little anxious getting into it, some nerves, but you know, we'll see. We'll wait till the morning, but I'm definitely excited, I'll tell you that.
Do you think it'll be just like riding a bike?
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It all depends. Every game's different, so we'll see how it goes. I think if I get in there, it's just remember just the little things and just go out there and play hard and just play as hard as I can. I mean, it was a pretty long process, but I think the most important thing was not to rush anything. And when I finally was out, it just got to a point where you know, I wasn't in shape to play, and it was time to rest. And unfortunately, it took a lot longer than would have liked to. But you know, it's been long, but I know I got a lot of help from a lot of people, and you know, our trainers, and you know, I've been working with another trainer outside that Gapper set me up with, and she's been doing a great job. And it's been long, but I finally, you know, just to get back and be practicing with the team has meant a lot. And you know, it's good to get to this point now and be really close to playing.
Have you talked with any other players who dealt with this and back from
concussions like this? Yeah, maybe some guys, but I feel like everyone goes through some different things, so not everything's the same. And guys have tried different things to try and get back quicker, but I think time, and I mean, there's maybe some treatment that you can do that maybe speeds things up. But you know, the most important thing, like I said, is to be clear and ready before coming back.
Are you concerned about, like, what if you take a shot up high? What if you get a collision in the net, like the first time that happened?
I mean, if I'm feeling good and I'm back to normal, then I mean, there's no worries about that. That's the whole point of clearing you to play. So,
is it your decision tomorrow, or just collectively, what happens tomorrow morning that we don't know today?
I mean, overall, it's my decision. At the end of the day, I'm the only one that really knows how I'm feeling, and I have to tell our guys what's going on. And and I've been feeling great lately, and it's to a point now where I'm ready to go. So, yeah, games are always different. Try to do some video with Jimmy just to kind of remember some of the little things that help out. When you're playing a lot, those things come naturally. After you missed a little bit of time, you know, it might take a little bit to get back, and I don't know, who knows, hopefully it doesn't, hopefully it comes back pretty quick. So we'll see. I'm not going to try and think about it too much, though.
As for Corey's teammates, they're just happy seeing him be himself again, much less the value he's expected to add should he work his way back to pre-injury form. As for Coach Joel Quenneville, here are his thoughts on the impact of Corey's loss and now return. And I also asked Joel about whether his players would pay extra attention to making sure Corey is protected around the net in conditions unlike what he's been seeing in practice.
I don't think you want to change how you the mentality of knowing that you're defending around situations around the net. But I still think that I think you always want to be in that area where, hey, you always got to protect your goalie. It's something that, and it's not something that I think that just going out of your way to say that might be a little bit unusual. I think that I think we all know that what he means, and him getting back in here and him playing such a long time. Sometimes you might assume that everybody's there to help him, but the safety part of it, you know, we're all in that one together where we're protecting our goalie. We've been spoiled here for sure, and we've been, it was a tough stretch for the team, and then the uncertainty with Crow, and then, you know, him having a good summer at the end of it, and then this process here now looks like it's a go, and so we're, you know, it's been, you know, been patient in a lot of ways, but now that he's out there playing, we're just happy that he's the progress that he's made in over the last month or two, and it's been really good, and it's been encouraging.
One more voice now on Crawford, and that is from his former understudy Antti Raanta, who went from 29-5 with a 2.41 goals against average and a 912 save percentage here during the 13-14 and 14-15 seasons before he was dealt to the Rangers and later landed with the Coyotes. Ranta's gone on to develop into a very capable starting goalie for Arizona. He also battled his share of injuries last season. And after the Yotes practice at MBIA Arena, he shared thoughts on the man who is expected to be at the other end of the ice Thursday night.
Obviously, he was a big part of for my development also. And, you know, you learn so much from him and, you know, how he handles different things. And you know, he's still, I think, he's too underrated. Like, I think the people doesn't appreciate what he has done to at least some of the people. Like, I think in this organization they know how important he is, but, you know, he's one of the top goalies in the league, and you know, having him being out for 10 months, it's going to be great to see him back. Obviously, hopefully he's not perfect straight away, and but, you know, obviously it's going to be great to have him back, and, you know, just see him on the ice and hear that he's doing better. It's just great news, and you know, you never want to see anybody get hurt, and when you're out for 10 months, it's a long time. So, you know, just a good feeling for him to get back here.
Raanta is just one of five former Hawks who will be back in their former home wearing the enemy uniform, along with Vinny Hinostroza, Richard Panik, Jordan Oosterli, and three-time Cup winner Nicklas Hjalmarsson, who was traded a couple of summers ago, but due to an injury in Arizona's only trip here last December, he's going to be facing his ex-team for the first time at the United Center.
I bet it's going to be a lot of emotions and mixed feelings, but I just had a, you know, it was fun driving in the city yesterday. It was the first time I'm back since I got traded, so I have such a good memories from here. I spent my whole 20s and didn't want to spend it anywhere else than here in Chicago. It's always going to be my second home, even though I really like it down in Arizona as well. But you know, Chicago is always going to be a special place for me. I have so many great memories from here, and still a lot of good friends in the team, obviously, in Chicago too. So it's it puts a smile on my face driving into the city, that's for sure.
Do you still keep in touch with some of the guys?
Sure, there's a couple texts here and there, and but it's always during the season. You're pretty bad at that, but I think the guys know where we have each other.
Do you think it's going to be surreal to play in that building as a member of the opposing team this time?
Yeah, it's going to be strange coming in as a away team and being in the other locker room and playing two touch and all that stuff. That's going to be obviously very, very strange, but at the same time, I had a full year. I was injured a lot, but so I think that might be helping me out a little bit with the nerves that I've already been in a Coyote for a year. So, hopefully I can enjoy the game and not be too nervous about it.
Favorite memory with Chicago?
Probably gonna have to say the the first cup, it's always going to be very special. I think for the city too, I think it's just the celebration and everything we had here with the first cup. It was just was more chaotic than the other two. I think that after the first one, they had a good practice run there, so everything else was so organized and so professionally done after that. So I kind of enjoy when it's a little bit chaotic, and I felt the first time was everybody was happy on the second and third one as well, but the first one is always going to be very special. And even just going to the conference final, even though we lost against Detroit that year, the year before was great memories too. It was the first time for me going into the playoffs and playing deep, so that was another great memory.
Nicholas, what were your emotions like when you found out you were traded last year?
I wasn't happy, to be honest with you. I was shocked and took me a couple days to actually realize that I wasn't going to play for the Hawks anymore. But at the same time, I know the business side. I've been in the league for a while, so you kind of let it go after a while. And now I'm just hoping all the success for the guys over here too, except for us, obviously. I've seen that they're off to a good start, and I always think that Chicago deserves to have a team in the playoffs with the crowd, and the hockey is big here. So it's not that I wish them not to do well. It's the total opposite. I want them to have continued success.
Duncan just celebrated his 1,000th game the other night. I think he's 9 behind Seabrook now. What did those two guys mean to you during your time here?
Huge. Even though I might have haven't maybe told them that enough, but coming into the league, having those two guys as in the D, you know, just looking at every day how they prepare and how they play, and I'm just trying to, you know, take a part of Sieb's game there and a part of Dunk's game, and I couldn't have had better role models coming into a team, and I'm very thankful for to have played in the same team with those guys, and created a lot of success together, and you know, we're always going to be connected with the cups that we've had, and have a special bond together. So I'm extremely thankful for the way they are as hockey players, and even more how they are as persons.
Where does this team struggle the most in the scoring department? Been the biggest struggle point for you guys?
Yeah, it's. I think it's just coming down to net front presence and just having more guys around the net. I think we've been playing, you know, pretty well, and it's been frustrating not to see the puck go in. And I think that's just keep getting pucks to the net and get those ugly goals, those rebounds and tips and goals like that.
Yeah, after Tuesday's 2-1 loss at Arizona, the Coyotes have scored just 3 goals in 5 games this season, not including the shootout goal they registered in their lone victory. And none of those 3 that they've scored have been in 5-on-5 play. 2 of them are on the power play and 1 shorthanded. Finally, let's wrap up with one of Hjalmarsson's teammates on the 2013 and 15 Cup winners. That's being Brandon Saad. He's expected to be a healthy scratch Thursday night after dropping down the lineup the last couple of games. So far, Saad with no goals, 2 assists, but Joel Quenneville explained it's how Saad is playing that led him into a white jersey and perhaps a symbolic wake-up call at practice this week.
A message or, you know, just expect more. That's kind of more of the situation. His game, I think having the puck, keeping the puck, tight areas, getting to the net, battle areas, a little bit more possession game because he can do a lot of things when he gets the puck. His mindset's what it is, and I just think that whether it's urgency or passion, you know, I think that that's the coming up with more loose pucks in those areas is probably going to be the difference.
So we'll see how this lineup minus Saad produces on Thursday night, heading into a back-to-back over the weekend at Columbus, Saturday, back home Sunday versus Tampa Bay. But among a Thursday night full of curious storylines, front and center is Corey Crawford's return, if all goes well, at the morning skate. That's going to do it for this edition of our Blackhawks Crazy podcast. We want to thank Joe Romano for once again coming to the rescue and piecing this thing together in a frantic Wednesday afternoon. We invite you to follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks. That includes Scott King's Chelsea Blogger blog, You can also follow Scott on NHL.com and on Twitter at Scott King Media. I'm at Bowden Tweets. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. So that's going to do it from MBI Arena on a very busy Wednesday. And we'll talk to you again sometime next week.